Carmen Miksha
and Sophia Miksha,
your host of Seeds of Sunshine, a mother-daughter multi-generational podcast filled with laughter, wisdom, and advice.
I am a high school student in the IB program, a runner, and a sister.
I have a BA and MA degree in English and have published 3 poetry books, a tennis book, and 2 essay anthologies, which you can find on Amazon or my website, carmenmiksabooks.com. I am also the broker CEO of Dynamic Real Estate, my own company. To buy or sell a home with me, please visit my website, dynamicsacramentohomes.com, and mention this podcast for a discount on commission.
Thanks so much for tuning in. We promise you Seeds of Sunshine once a week to elevate your lives and dreams through better communication between generations.
Taylor Ross is a former professional track athlete who is now a gym owner and online coach. He pursued a professional track career after graduating with his master's degree in kinesiology and trained with Olympians. He continues to coach elite athletes and anyone who wants to optimize their mind and body for performance and health. He has trained a world champion MMA fighter, USA track and field athletes, professional basketball players, and busy professionals looking to achieve their best in business and life. The hurdles of starting a business while training full-time presented constant opportunities for growth and change. Pushing through a full business shutdown during the pandemic to become a thriving business has been empowering in a sense of compassion to serve others in any way, shape, or form. He focuses on creating physical well-being and mental discipline to improve all areas of life. Daily disciplines show that consistency conquers.
Welcome, Taylor. We are deeply honored and happy to have you on season 2 of our Seeds of Sunshine, a mother-daughter podcast. And how are you today?
I'm doing very, very well. Excited.
That's wonderful, Taylor. We're very happy to have you here. And especially because it's February and it's, we know it's not just Valentine, but it's Heart Month. We want to stay healthy. And our listeners will be amazed by everything you're going to have to say. I'm just super excited. But before we dive into our fun and inspiring conversation, as always, we have a quote and a joke. And the quote is by Socrates, who said, "It is a disgrace to grow old through sheer carelessness before seeing what manner of man you may become by developing your bodily strength and beauty to their highest limit." What do you think?
That's amazing. Going Socratic is a big part of my overall mindset, is really developing everything that we do as people, and who better than
wonderful. And let's see if you get this a joke pun. What's a gym's favorite type of music?
A gym's favorite type of music is,
yeah, in the gym. Like what's?
I don't know. Rock?
Well, heavy metal.
Heavy metal. Close. Okay.
Yes, yes, Taylor. So, like I said, we are a multi-generational podcast, and my daughter always loves to ask about our guests' background and their childhood. So tell us something you learned as a child that you still apply to your life now, Taylor.
Oh, 100%. So throughout childhood, a lot of what I did was pursuing excellence through action and not really talking about it, just being about it. So a lot of my childhood was athletic based. I played soccer. I played a little bit of baseball. I played a lot of basketball, track and field. And a lot of what I did wasn't so much about saying I'm going to do things on the field. It was just showing up and putting the effort forward to get better every single day. That mentality that I've had as a child in sports has leaked over into professional athletics, but also the business world that I'm in now as well with coaching. It's all about putting the action forward with what you think and just making it happen rather than just talking frivolously and not really being about what it is that you're doing. So I'm a big, big action taker. When you think it, put it into action.
Oh, I love it, Taylor. I'm the same way. And as we said in our introduction, you are a former professional track athlete. And What was it like to be an athlete, an elite athlete, and train with Olympians and world record holders? And I think your track specialty was sprinting, right?
Yep, the 400 meters. So I had quite the career. I was a walk-on in college, eventually got scholarship, and then my coach pushed me to get with a professional group. So training with the best in the world was very eye-opening, but also not as amazing or novel as I thought it'd be, because they trained just as hard as me. They had the same mindset. So we were on the same playing field as far as the mentality of what training was. So a lot of what we did was show up every day, put in the work, rest, recover, repeat. There were days that you didn't want to do it, and they had days that they didn't want to do it either. They're no different than us, but the level of intensity that they bring every single day for the end goal of being an Olympian or a world record holder is different than what you see day to day in the gym or recreational sports or even college sports, right? The time frame or timeline of their goals is typically 4 years. When you think in a big time frame, every little day matters because it stacks up and adds up, versus thinking of like, oh, I just want to make it there and you start training that year. Doesn't work like that. So the mentality that I learned from them is big, long time horizon, put in the work each and every day, and that little work every day is going to add up to be a big lump sum of hard work that you can pay the debt to get into whatever it is that you want, right? And that is actually something that you could take with everything you do in life, whether it's relationships, whether it's your personal fitness journey, whether it's business. Long time horizons, bits of work every single day, whether you want to do it or not, is what's going to get you to that end goal, and enjoy the journey.
Oh, Taylor, that's amazing. And I'm a runner myself. I'm a marathon runner, but I have to tell you, my favorite distance on track is 400 meters.
It is
Yeah.
something else. There, it's pain, it's love, it's grit, it's a fun one.
Yes. And I also love the 200 meters. But the 400 meters, they're just amazing because whether we train for a marathon or for a 5K, they're just one of the most impactful because we can do different sets, we can see our progress.
Yeah, it's really cool to look at different aspects of training and like where you're getting better. Look at a positive every single day. If you think of just like the marathon time, oh, I want to run 3 hours. Well, if you go out and run and you don't hit 3 hours and you're upset, well, maybe you did a 5K that was better, right? You got to look at the different metrics all over the place, which is really cool. And in the 400, I've run 60s, I've run 200s, I've run 600s, I've run, of course, 400s, 4x1, 4x4, all these different things that we could put together, be like, oh, I'm making progress, I'm getting better, this is fun, oh, I need to improve right here. And I mean, as you know, running a marathon is, that's a long journey that you train for every day, and you got to take all those wins.
Yes, absolutely, Taylor. And what was your favorite workout to prepare for the 400 meters?
Love-hate relationship with 300s, repeat 300s.
Really?
They're fast, but not a full 400. So you do two and you feel okay. Number three is kind of hurting. And then that fourth one is like, ooh, that's the pain game. It's probably, yeah, 300s or hill work, hill sprints.
And what was the recovery? So you would do 300 and 100 meter recovery?
It was dependent on the time of the season. Sometimes it was short recovery, 2, 3 minutes, where you're running more tempo. Then there's other times of the year where it's high speed, basically 95% effort with 8 to 12 minutes of rest. It all hurts. It's all fun still, though. But yeah, that's where you get into the details of, your training season and cycle of what you're doing.
Wonderful. And my daughter Sophia is also doing track with her high school. So what would your advice be for the athletes who do track in high school or college?
Have fun with it, but if you truly love it, take it serious. Put in that work, because track and field and say swimming, what else? They're performance-based sports. You have to put yourself into a high level of performance by training really hard and also recovering well. It's not something that you can get away with skill, like skill-based sports. You can be not in great shape and still be an amazing basketball player because you have the skills to get up and down the court. But for track, if you truly love it, put in the work and you'll be able to work your way to the top.
Oh, I love it, Taylor. And what mindset shifts have you had throughout your career?
I think one of the biggest mindset shifts that I've had is realizing that one, I took my education for granted. So I have my master's in kinesiology, strength conditioning, nutrition focused. And I got a job at a big box gym. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm gonna start training these people. And I saw what other trainers were doing that didn't have the 6 years of education behind them like I did. And I was like, oh my gosh, these people are here to improve their health. And they're doing things that like they did as an athlete. Those don't line up with each other. So I took a step back. I'm like, wow, my educators, my mentors were absolutely amazing. And that's what shifted my mindset as far as I need to serve these people where they are in life, not with what I'm doing. I think a lot of trainers start with a selfish mindset of like, I did this, do this type thing. And my favorite story is the ability that I had to help people transform their daily lives. I had Darlene, 83 years old, came in with a cane every day. She had mobility issues, but we trained to give her a high quality of life as much as possible at that age of life, right? She came in one day and was like, Taylor, guess what? I'm like, hey, what's up? What's going on, Darlene? She's like, I grabbed a can of beans out of the top cupboard without asking Dick for help. And she was elated. Just to go up and grab a can of beans, putting her hand over her head, she couldn't really do before. But that, what, 1.5, 2 pounds of beans was a life-changing event for her. And that was the second big shift that I had. Like, wow, I'm transforming people's lives just because I know how the body works, how to make them strong, and then how to make them believe in themselves. That was the biggest mindset shift that I've ever had in my whole career.
Wow, Taylor, that's incredible. Because it is true. Besides being a marathon runner and loving to run, I'm a tennis player. And sometimes, I'm 50, and sometimes my doubles partner is 70, and I'm amazed how well they move on the court and how strong they are. And I'm like, wow, I hope I'm going to be the same way when I'm 70 and when I'm 80, because we want to continue doing what we love to do. And we know that our bodies work the best when we keep them moving.
Exactly. Yeah, my dad always has told me the moment you stop moving is the day you start to die. Don't stop moving. You keep the joints moving, you got the heart pumping, just everything about movement is healthy. Obviously, when you get to the very, very high ends, extreme spectrums, there's a little bit of we'll see. Like I say, ultra marathons are a little bit on the line of like, is it healthy or is it just something grit like you want to do mentally? But life is meant to be lived through movement. I think that is one of the most paramount things that we need to do. And the mindset to keep it going is really important as well.
Yes, absolutely, Taylor. And you mentioned something important. Besides training hard, we all need to take rest seriously. So what do you have to say about that?
I was somebody who thought I needed to work all the time, and it was my detriment. And I actually did not allow my body to recover. So, through my failures of that, I learned that we need to take times to allow our body to adapt and overcome the training that we're doing. Obviously, I learned that during my education too. So, basically, if you're training really hard, if you're pushing your body to the threshold to improve your performance, you'd need to scale back every once in a while to allow your body to, it's called super compensation, become better than it was before. If you constantly train at a really high level of intensity, one, you could start to do overreaching where performance starts to decrease. Overtraining is a little bit tougher to truly get to. I think like more elite performers are predisposed to that, but you don't want to see your performance decrease. So you get to that overreaching component and then you got to pull back a little bit so your body can go, ah, all right, now we just did all this work. I need to get better at it so I can improve to take on another training load, right? So then your body gets marginally better. And then you go through another training cycle, deload a little bit, get a little bit better again during your deload. And that's how you constantly become better. It's not work, work, work all the time. It's almost like if you take a knife and you use the same knife every single day, always using it, never taking time to sharpen it. Sharpening it is your deloading, your recovery phase. That time you're working, you're cutting a bunch of stuff, but it starts to get harder and harder and harder. It gets duller, and that's your body breaking down. Once you stop to take the time to sharpen the knife, that's your recovery component. You're not chopping anymore, right? Then now you go back at it again. It's super sharp and boom, boom, boom. You hit a lot of hard training. You're chopping through stuff really easy. Then it starts to get dull again. And then you got to take some time back, sharpen the knife, and get back at it again.
Oh, I love it, Taylor. I'm a huge believer of that. Like today, for instance, is my full rest day. I'm going to run a marathon this Saturday in Phoenix. And so it's not just rest day, it's the whole week is what we call taper, you know. And I never have problems giving my body a rest day, but I see other athletes who push and push and then they constantly get injured. And I'm like, why don't you just rest? You know, like to me, rest day is like I pretty much don't do much other than walk a little bit or maybe do a 10-minute yoga, and just, you know, just allow my body to just, you know, refocus and just, like you said, absorb everything that I've been doing, all the work that I put into this marathon preparation.
Yeah, that's great that you're able to do that. Some people can't, and I'm one of them, and that's what kind of detrimented me a bit. If you're able to listen to your training program and be able to not be antsy, that's amazing. I personally learned through injuries and always pushing too hard that, yeah, I need to rest. But from the mental aspect of things, some people just can't settle down. They're like, I need to do something. I need to do something. That's where other hobbies come into play. And of course, going for a walk is great. Don't do nothing on your rest days unless it's like pre-race, pretty important to do nothing. You're gonna have to sit through
Right.
that one, even if your mind's going all crazy. But it's a tough one, especially for athletes that, like myself, I was elite level, but I wasn't top in the world. And I wanted to get there. So I was doing everything possible, train, 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 train as much as I could to try to get better. But it was actually putting me back after time. And those rest days, once I learned how to use them properly and actually take them, that's where things really accelerated. I got faster, I got stronger, I felt better both mentally and physically. They are very, very, very important, but it's hard to get people to break through that mental barrier of like, I just need to do something, you know?
Yes. And then as a gym owner and online coach, you focus on helping others create physical well-being and mental discipline to improve all areas of life. And you also believe that consistency conquers, which is also my motto. So how can others live by this powerful concept, Taylor?
You want to look at your life in one, what you want to do and what the steps are to get there. So we talked about earlier, if you have a thought, put it into action. The consistency of those small actions adding up over time is really what's going to get you there. And the hardest thing is not doing it, but getting yourself to do it. The motivation is going to come and go, but the discipline is what needs to stay forever. If you're disciplined to reach your goals, that is how you actually get there. I don't want to train every day. Motivation is not always there, but if you dedicate to your daily disciplines, you will get to wherever it is that you want to be. It might take a week, it might take 5 years, it might take 10 years, who knows? But if you constantly work forward and have that discipline mentally to get it done, that is what's so transformative in whatever journey that you're taking. And I've worked with professional athletes. I still do. Like, actually, one of my fighters just got a fight. We have 31 days until he fights.
Wow.
Yeah, just found out last night. So we have professional athletes. We have people who just want to optimize their life and well-being or for their family. You can't be the perfect dad day one, like, I want to be a great dad. Well, what are the things that you need to do to improve upon? Everybody's journey is going to be a little bit different. I'm not a huge morning routine person where I say, like, hey, do these and you're going to become great. That needs to be internalized by you. You need to find out what you improve upon and what can you can dedicate to every single day. There's going to be days where it's going to slip up, but the discipline to get it consistently done, that's where things really change. And that's where I think people miss misconstrue the physical versus the mental side. Like the mentality of what you're doing controls everything else. So it's actually more powerful than, all right, I'm gonna just go run today. I'm like, okay, well, what's your purpose behind it? What's the greater picture? And that's where you can make those big breakthroughs.
Yes. And with consistency, like you said, it could take a year, it could take 5 years. And with consistency comes patience, because a lot of people are just so impatient. Like when my daughter started to run track, she's like, "Okay, mom, how do I run as fast as you do?" And I'm like, "I've been running for 7 years, so I need you to be patient. You just can't, just go out the gate. Yeah, you have young legs and fresh legs, but you're just gonna need to build up." So, and you also brought up the discipline. What do you do for people who don't have this discipline? How do you help them find it and motivate themselves, Taylor?
What I do is actually I ask questions. I ask a lot of questions and I try to educate people. So if they have a goal in mind or even if they feel lost, like I was talking to a gentleman last night and he was like, oh, I just want to like see where I can get to. I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean to you? Like, what are you trying to achieve? He's like, oh, I just want to like feel better. Very, very loose ends. Like he didn't actually know what he wanted. And just through asking more questions, seeing what he had previously done, it turns out he actually wanted to be a guiding light for his sister and make a change in his life so he can help transform hers as well. So that was the motivation. I'm like, there it is. And he's like, wow, that helps so much just talking about it and just like actually figuring it out because I didn't know. A lot of people don't know what it is that they truly want and they need help finding it or figuring it out. So, one, it's me helping them find their answers through questions. And then two, I like to educate. So if it's physical or if it's nutrition, I just like to teach until they realize everything that I'm providing them is going to help them get to their goals and they start putting those action steps into play. I will guide them as well, but the education component with the questions is what really unlocks the ability to find their motivation, find their discipline, and then start putting it into play.
Wonderful. And you brought up a very important topic, nutrition. So what are your tips about that, and how do you motivate people to eat healthy, to be mindful?
The biggest thing is our bodies are physical. We see it all the time. We'll know if we're in shape or if we're overweight, right? If you're overweight, it's pretty easy to know that you should probably change your nutrition. But even then, that is superficial. I'm a big proponent of blood work. You don't know what's really going on inside. Somebody could look incredibly healthy and have lots of stuff going on in their blood work where they need to change it with their nutrition and exercise as well. So I think nutrition is paramount to transforming your overall life. You're going to get more cognition, you're just feeling better, you're going to lose the weight or build muscle, you're going to recover better, all of that. And one, it comes down to asking those questions of what they want to achieve and helping them learn about their bodies. So I do that a lot with blood work. Anybody that works in person with me, I try to make them get blood work at least twice a year. You got to check the engine, right? We have our bodies for life. We don't get another one. And there's some things that blood work can tell us, and we can catch it early. And if you don't, kind of stuck with it. And nutrition is extremely powerful. And beyond that, the biggest thing I try to do for people is awareness. Just start tracking your food. See what it is that you're eating. You might think that you're eating 1500 calories, but you're adding maybe at like 2500, 3000. And then, oh, I didn't know that this had so much fat in it, or this had carbs, or I thought this was protein, but it's really carbs, and or something like that. Like some people, I've had clients who thought that avocados were protein. I'm like, oh, that's actually a lot of fat and some carbs in there. So our education system does not teach us how to be healthy and fit, and I take it as my job to teach people as much as possible. And the first component of that is awareness. You got to know what foods are what, so start tracking, learning more about food, and then also do a body check to see what foods or vitamins and minerals you need to optimize yourself.
Absolutely, I can't agree with you more. And like to me is so critical, to have the right amount of protein and carbs. So I constantly learn about nutrition, because sometimes for me it's the opposite. I feel difficult to get myself to have 15 to 2000 calories a day, you know? And if, especially when I run a lot, so that's when I actually have to be more mindful and look at the protein ratio to repair my muscles. And that's why it's so important, because you are right. We are not taught enough about nutrition. Most of the doctors, you go to them and they don't address nutrition. So people need to take it upon themselves and just understand what food labels mean and how to eat properly and how to cook, because it's not that difficult, but it requires time and commitment.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And you brought up the doctor not telling us what we really need. I honestly look at my profession as the first line of defense for everyday people, right? If I can't help them, it's going to get to a point where they go to their doctor and it might not be a great conversation. I genuinely believe that I help people improve their overall life and get the doctor to say, hey, you're doing great. Because the doctor's not going to give you everything that we just went through, right? And their nutrition segment of their how many years of schooling is minuscule. And it has probably one of the largest impacts with exercise. So I genuinely feel I'm the first responder of health in that kind of world. Even though people like to talk down on trainers sometimes, we literally save and transform people's lives. I've worked with type 1, type 2 diabetics, totally transforming their life through nutrition and a little bit of movement. It's pretty incredible of how much I've been able to help people with tiny little bits of information that their doctor might just skim over.
Yep, absolutely, Taylor. And do you have a favorite meal, like after a big workout?
I'm on a big Greek yogurt with like sort of frozen berries right now with protein powder. I'm a dessert fiend. I love dessert and sweets. So that's my healthy sweet treat that I always have. That's probably my go-to when it's hot. It's been raining here in California over the past like 4 days. So that's not been on the menu lately.
Yes. But,
other than that, I love sushi. I'll go out for a nice big sushi meal for a big training block.
Yes, I love sushi as well, Taylor. And I am in Sacramento, California. Where are you?
I'm in Orange County, California.
Oh, wonderful. Yes. Okay. So at the end of each episode, Taylor, we like to sprinkle seeds of sunshine for our listeners, which is something uplifting, inspiring, and maybe actionable to help us make positive changes in our lives. So what are your seeds of sunshine?
My seeds of sunshine. I'm going to have to go with my four F's. So this is something that I've talked about previously. It's a faith, family, fitness, and fulfillment. If you focus in on those four things in life, you will see doors open like no other. So faith, whether it's God, yourself, your family, I don't mind who it is or your goal. Then you have your family, your immediate circle. Those are the people that are going to give back to you and support you. Then you have fitness, which is both mental and physical. You got to improve those to be able to give back to everybody. And then fulfillment. Fulfillment is passion, or serving through passion and purpose to help others, because then that will help you, right? So if you focus on those four things, there'll be a lot of sunshine in your life.
Oh, I absolutely love it. And before I let you go, how can listeners connect with you on social media?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram, Tayro Runs. It's from my running days, so you'll see some running in there. And then YouTube as well. You can just search me up, Taylor Rose, on YouTube.
Wonderful, Taylor. I so much appreciate our conversation. I could talk to you all day. And I wish you to keep on shining. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Good luck with your marathon this weekend.
Yes. Thank you, Taylor. Bye.
Bye.
To contribute and support our podcast, please become a subscriber or use the Coffee app, which you can find in our show notes. It is greatly appreciated. Thanks so much for listening, sharing, and reviewing our podcast. To connect, please follow me on Facebook and Twitter at Carmen Mixa and Carmen Seeds of Sunshine on Instagram. Thanks so much. Goodbye for now.